Good morning and welcome to the episode of the Under the Helmet podcast. Continue to spin a world around the world of global football. I am pleased to be joined by the head coach of the Green Bay Blizzard, Corey Robinson. Good morning, coach. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. Now, growing up in Detroit, when did you know that football would be your path?
Oh man. Really probably about my sophomore year. Well, after my sophomore year, maybe my junior year, I would say. That's when I stopped playing basketball in high school. And then when I got to college, I went back to playing basketball. So I was, dual sport for about 2 years in college. And then junior year, it was strictly all football from that point.
Now, how did a player from Detroit, Michigan find his way to small town Wisconsin to play football? What was it about this area, the school, Lakeland, to kind of draw you here?
The coach at that time, Randy Ari, he recruited heavily out of Michigan. It was the UP in the lower part of Michigan, him being a UP guy himself. So it was a big time recruiting efforts from him and his coaching staff. And things didn't work out the way I thought it was. And of course, my grades wasn't stellar in high school or whatnot. So I ended up at this small D3 school here in Wisconsin. My brother came here. He was here the year before that. My cousin came the year before that. So it was kind of like a family trio of us coming out this way, as well as high school teammates and other people in Detroit of various schools. So it was one of those, it was a pipeline. The coaches in the city, and as well as the coaches here, they developed that relationship and had a pipeline of student athletes coming to the little old Lakeland.
Your cousin, your brother were among the first wave of Michigan recruits to play this way and to play out here. Looking back on it and looking back at the success of Lake, looking back at the success of the football program and just how the program has changed over the last 2 decades, do you look back and say, wow, we started something big? And where do you rank the incoming of Midwest talent to Lakeland as far as importance within the school athletic program?
I wouldn't necessarily say my class. I think my class was one of the dark years. I think my class might be the only class at Lakeland to not win a conference championship, my 4 years. But before that, my brother, he's in the Hall of Fame here, as a receiver. He was inducted a few years back, in the Hall of Fame. And my cousin, they were back-to-back conference champions. And putting Lakeland on the map, beating D2 schools and all that stuff. So, to be pioneers in that era, I mean that's a service to the head coach, right? At that time, which I mentioned before, Randy Ori. So, that pipeline, I mean, it didn't stop with us. It kept going even with the coaching change over the years here at Lakeland, as well as different coaches in Michigan, it's an opportunity. I look at it as Lakeland is a place of opportunities, and they gave a lot of students, especially students of color, that opportunity to come to school and get a degree and keep building on their foundations for their family.
When your Lakeland career ended, did you think that you would keep playing, or did you think that it was time to get into the private sector?
Oh no, yeah, I knew I was gonna keep playing. I actually, I had a pretty solid career here at Lakeland, and got some, I'm ranked in interceptions and stuff like that. Not all time, but I think I might be third. But the professors, I think what I like about Lakeland was it's a small school. I do know we talked about opportunities. But the one-on-one with their professors or whatnot. So they had granted me an opportunity to continue to play. So after my senior year of playing, I jumped right into the indoor game right away. Back then it was the NIFL. So that would have been in 2002. Went down to Mississippi, made the team, and the rest is history. That started a long career for me. Played 9 more years of the game, and then here I am coaching now. But yeah, it was soon as I finished playing, a buddy of mine, Bobby Hill, actually, I think Bobby. Bobby Hill, you know, introduced me to this game, man, and I haven't looked back since.
When you look at that first week with the team in Mississippi, what was the culture like going from like the upper Midwest to way down south?
And we had a whole bunch of boys from Starkville, Mississippi State boys. You know, it wasn't, I think the big difference between levels is I believe the line play. You know, we were able to compete. I mean, me being a little small D3 school, you know, 6'1 DB, you know, going up, rest in peace, Kevin Cooper, guys, you know, Mississippi State, you know, NFL experience, you know, Copeland and all them guys. I think that was it wasn't a big difference from the skill set. So, but you talk about talent, you talk about speed, you know, them cats down there, they had it, you know what I mean? But as an athlete and your will to compete, it was no different. So I don't look at it as it was a culture shock or anything like that. That was, I mean, it's football. They put their pants on the same way we did up here, so it didn't matter.
Now, when your career was winding down, what was it hard to make the transition from being on the field to being on the sideline as a coach? And what was the moment that you knew it was time to kind of hang it up on the field?
Well, you know, I started working. You know, my last year playing was actually with the Green Bay Blizzard in 2010. So I knew it was an opportunity to stay at home, continue to play. And, you know, with that come, you know, I had bills, I had jobs, I had, you know, family already. So it was a no brainer for me. I wasn't as connected, you know, my last year, just because I was commuting from going up to Green Bay or whatnot. But it was an easier transition because I had already been coaching as well at the college level right after, you know, as a student assistant. And then I was hired on as a DB coach. At my alma mater. So, you know, the coaching part was always there since I was playing. So I will always go play football in the spring, come back in the fall and coach, you know, whether it was at the college for 5 years or, you know, I got into the high school ranks as well. So it was the transition, I think, was already set in place. And it was smooth for me.
How long did it take you to not get the itch to play, like after you retired?
Well, I played a little semi-pro, so, you know, I was able to go and play here with my brother and guys from college again. And at the semi-pro level, I was a quarterback. And so big transition, right, from DB to quarterback or whatnot. Not real too good because I played a little bit here in college as well. But it was a transition. And you know, it. After the itch, I think when I hurt my knee and playing semi-pro, I knew it was time. You know, it was like, yeah, this is not what I signed up for. So being 33 years old, you know, still playing, wasn't playing at the highest level as I was in 2010 at 30, but I knew the transition. It was that time to, you know, it wasn't my game anymore to continue to compete.
How long did it take for you to take the last pair of cleats out of the trunk?
Well, after I finished playing at the highest level that I made it to, you know, in this indoor IFL, that 3-year transition, when I hurt my knee, I knew we were done. You know, all I wanted to do was be able at that point is run and play with my kids, you know, especially my son. And, you know, I still owe him a race because last time we raced, he hasn't beaten me. So he wanted to get that win over me, but it was smooth, man. It was easy. Mentally, I was already prepared for it.
When we come back from break, I want to talk about your path as far as the Blizzard and what you look forward to the future. But that's after break. You're listening to the Under Helmet Podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back on our podcast. Terrence Biggs with me is the head coach of the Green Bay Blizzard, Corey Robinson, coach. When you look at the Blizzard and getting into the culture of the Blizzard, what is it about the Blizzard that seems to have not just drawn players, but developed such a strong fan base?
Oh, you know, we got to start at the top. You know, you got to start with the ownership. You know, we've been through a couple of ownerships during my time there from player and coach and with Larry and Kathy Trinkler. Owning the team, you know, their faith, their commitment to the community is top notch, sometimes unmatched by others. So I think it starts with them. We got a fantastic front office staff held up by Ryan Hobson. He do a great job of mentoring and motivating and being innovative, right, in their approach with the rest of the front office staff and interns. We got a tremendous group of people that works off the field to make this machine go. And you can see that with the fans. I mean, we just broke attendance record in the history of Green Bay Blizzard football this past game. I want to say we had 7,600 at the game. And I think we're going to approach that again this upcoming game on May 5th. So it's going to be pretty close. But, you know, that front office staff as well as Ryan in the front office and the Trinklers, they've been doing a great job of the building the brand. You know, we talk about building the brand. Of course, we do our part. You know, when the transition happened in 2019, winning right away, that success on the field transitioned, you know, with ticket sales. And, you know, I think about what Ryan said. You know, for the first time in forever, we had a waiting list on our season ticket holders, especially in the first couple of rows. So, you know, that comes with winning. You know, we had a couple of down years, but I think the front office staff, like I said, has done a great job.
Now, outside of the strength, size, speed, the known traits that most coaches look for in a player, what intangible qualities, when you look at a player, be it heart, be it will, be it determination, what makes a good Green Bay Blizzard player to you outside of the strength, speed, and all the time measurables?
Well, I mean, you got to have those intangibles, but, you know, you got to want to be here. You know what I mean? We're not in the Arizonas or the Texases of the world, you know, Californias, you know, those are the other places that we're competing with, and we don't cheat. You know what I mean? We play by the rules here in Green Bay, and we do things the right way. And you got to, you know, that's integrity. That all comes down to you as an individual and how you was brought up. And if you're willing to, you know, want to be here in Green Bay and, you know, give your all, you know, I mean, you committed. So of course you're giving your all. I shouldn't have to question your effort. I think that plays, that's the start, right, of wanting to be here. And, you know, we got a good group of guys and they want to be in Green Bay. And that was our goal when we came in as a coaching staff, you know, back in 2019, is making Green Bay a destination. And I think, you know, we've had a roller coaster ride, but hopefully we're still on the slope going up, going upward. So that's the hope. That's the plan. And I think that's where we're at. But other intangibles, man, you got to have a high IQ. You know, you got to be football savvy, football intelligence. So, you know, if you're not a smart football player, of course, you know, that's the old adage of smart players do smart things and, you know, not so smart players do not so smart things. So, you know, which one are you? And you get to decide that as an individual player.
When you look at it, do you ever get a chance when you're just, you know, in the office, or do you have a time to reflect that, take time to kind of embrace the fact that, you know, you were a kid from Detroit coming, you know, to a different area, but managed to be a head coach of a indoor football team? Do you ever take a chance to just embrace and kind of soak in the fact that you come from a very long way?
You know, not really. I haven't had a chance to, I haven't even thought about it that way. I always think about where I come from, right? Growing up in Detroit, going to Detroit Persian high school, and, you know, growing up on the east side, 6 Mile and DeQuinder, you know, a young guy. And I think about, you know, guys, friends, you know, grew up, you know, of course we're apart from each other now, but, you know, who's here and who's not anymore. And, you know, I'm great, forever grateful. You know, I thank the man upstairs. I thank God for, you know, keeping me in his grace. Of course, you know, I think about my family. I mean, we've been through a lot. We've been a long ways, and to see where we are now, I mean, when you say that and I put it in perspective, you know, it's a blessing. I haven't really pondered or reflected on that as much because it's always been go, go, go. But, you know, I think I need to take time to think about that. That's a great question.
When you're not on the field, when you're not in the office, when you're not watching film, how do you get away from the game?
Depends on who you ask that question. I don't think it ever leaves. You know, you Man, a couple of coaches couldn't have said it any better. It's like when you get a taste of success, and that's winning. You know, you get so addicted to winning, and you want it so bad that it's a constant. You know, and you always striving, and you always thinking of ways of how you could do things better. And you always learning, right? You know, I mean, we as coaches, are hopefully, you know, everyone feels this way, but you know, we're constantly learning. And growing and trying to be better as a person and as a coach for your organization. But, you know, it's important to find time for your family. I do have a wife and three kids, and, you know, one is grown in high school and one in middle school. But, you know, when I the past couple of years, I've found myself, you know, really devoting the time to them when it's time to when I am away from the game, because when I'm in the game, I'm always gone. So, you know, giving them the time that they need, that's valuable. You know, I think I fall short of greatness when it comes to that, just because of the nature of the beast of the game. But I got to be very intentional on giving them the time that they need as well.
Looking back, what advice would you give to 18-year-old Corey just coming out to play football? Like, what advice would you give yourself?
Oh, man. If it's one thing that I would say, I would probably say, you know, your talent's only going to get you so far, you know, hard work, man, hard work, you know, sky's the limit. You know, you had a lot of athletic ability, and, you know, if you would have just devoted yourself a little bit more and just not work, use your talent to get you where you're at, who knows where you'll be.
Good 18-year-old version of yourself play for the current day version of yourself. Could you coach yourself at 18? If you look back and you had a player who's you, basically.
Oh, it depends on who you asking me that question.
Yes.
Man, 18-year-old Corey, probably. I mean, I was humble. I think I grew a confident attitude over the years. I was very confident in my skill set, especially at the level that I was playing. Probably should have, you know, thought about or did things differently. But I believe my skill set of where I'm at now, could I coach? I mean, I see some guys that remind me of myself now. So, yep, I believe I could. I could coach myself.
What's the one food from back in Detroit that you wish you could eat more of?
One food? One restaurant. You know, I love some Coney Island, man. Detroit Coney Island. That's you know, top notch. In my opinion, I make sure I always get there and get some Coney Island. As far as a food, I mean, I'm still eating the same foods. You know, my wife is Hispanic, so you know, I expanded my food range with a variety of different things now. So you know, she know how to cook a lot of different food, so entries.
Now, you mentioned Coney Island. We have a friend, our friend Tino, who always give him, you know, grief about, he wants like a picture, look like he put ketchup on his Coney. Explain how big of a sin that is.
Well, he put what?
Ketchup on his Coney.
On his Coney dogs?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really eat the Coney dogs. So when I go to Coney, I get, you know, a wing ding dinner or the corned beef sandwich or whatnot. But he put ketchup on his Coney. I mean, you know, knowing that he's down there at the draft right now, I would, that's, well, you know, to each his own, you know, whatever he likes, whatever floats his boat. I got nothing to say about it.
We give him a hard time, but Tino's actually good people. Now, for fans, the Green Bay Blizzard will host the Massachusetts Pirates next Friday at 6:05. For tickets, log on to greenbayblizzard.com. Coach, last question. When you look at just the what you bring to the Blizzard, what you bring as a coach, describe your coaching style in one sentence.
Ooh. Coaching style in one sentence. I'm whatever coach I need to be in that situation. You know, so if I have to be that disciplinarian, you know, that's because I was forced to be that disciplinarian. I would probably say, yeah, I'm adjustable, I'm adaptable, but whatever coach I need to be in that situation. But at the end of the day, you know, we're looking for disciplined players to come out and do what they're supposed to do, you know, to help the team win. So Yeah.
That works. Green Bay Blizzard head football coach Corey Robeson, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Under Helmet Podcast.
All right. Appreciate you. Appreciate you for having me.